hearing is now called to order at 1 p.m. Thursday, May 8th, 2025. Let the record reflect that this is the time and place set for the hearing before the Nevada State Engineer in the matters of the proposed order to designate the East Walker Hydrographic Basin within Mineral and Lyon Counties, Nevada, and the proposed order establishing reporting requirements of meter installation and monthly meter readings within Mineral and Lyon Counties, Nevada. My name is James Hinson. I'm the Chief Administrative Law Judge and the hearing officer today, as designated by the State Engineer. There are others with me here today from the Nevada Division of Water Resources, and we'll start with Jared and go around so they can introduce themselves.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jared McCrum. I'm the Supervising Technical Specialist within the hearing section.
Adam Sullivan, State Engineer.
Kip Allender, Chief of Hydrology.
AJ Gensby, Water Rights Supervisor.
And Laura Bartels, I'm the Walker Basin Specialist.
This hearing is intended for the State Engineer to provide notice of the proposed orders and to take testimony as required by NRS 534-030 and to allow for public comment. We're going to go through the slides while we discuss. We will also discuss the hydrology in the basin today. Before we get started, I'd like to note that the State Engineer previously held a hearing to take testimony pursuant to NRS 534-030 in advance of designating this basin on October 12th, 2020. The State Engineer is holding today's hearing in part to provide an additional period for public comment following the COVID-19 pandemic, during which the original hearing to designate the basin was held, and which probably impacted attendance, as well as to hold the hearing in the county in which the major portion of the basin lies. The written testimony previously submitted in support of and or against the proposed designation will still be considered by the State Engineer in his decision on the proposed orders that are the subject of today's hearing. In other words, the written testimony previously submitted will still be considered, and this hearing is being recorded for the record of the State Engineer. At the table near the door is a sign-in sheet for today's hearing. If you haven't already, please add your information to the sign-in sheet so we can have an accurate participant list. On the sheet, please also indicate if you're a water right or well, if you own a water right or well and plan to provide public testimony. The exhibits, including proposed orders and other materials for today's hearing, are also available on the Division's website. These can be found by going to water.nv.gov under the Happening Now page. If you do not have access to the internet and need additional copies, please contact the Division. A reasonable fee for copying may be charged for items printed and mailed from the Division. At this time, the State Engineer will enter State Engineer's Exhibits 1 through 9 as identified on the list of exhibits for the hearing on proposed orders in East Walker Area Hydrographic Basin into the record. The State Engineer will also take administrative notice of any other relevant publications, information, and records in the Office of the State Engineer, including records of written testimony and other administrative records associated with the previous hearing conducted October 12, 2020, to designate the basin. The final version of these orders may be revised based on testimony received today. Before I discuss the proposed orders, I'll briefly introduce the Division of Water Resources and common terminology, as well as explain the impact, purpose, and procedure of designating a basin. Following our summary, there'll be a presentation by Lauren Bartels on the hydrology in the basin. After Lauren's presentation, I'll discuss the proposed orders, take testimony, and answer any questions. Following testimony and questions specific to the proposed orders, I'll also open the hearing for public comment on any issues other than the proposed orders. So first we'll take testimony on the proposed orders, and then we'll open up for public comment on anything unrelated to the proposed orders. With respect to testimony, the State Engineer is holding this public hearing to take testimony to determine whether administration of this basin is justified. Oral testimony will be accepted during the hearing, and please limit yourselves to 5 minutes. The public is also encouraged to submit testimony in writing. Written testimony can be mailed to the Nevada Division of Water Resources at 901 South Stewart Street, Suite 2002, Carson City, Nevada, 89701. The address is also located on the Division website at water.nv.gov. Written testimony, if you'd like to submit written testimony, will be accepted for consideration until Monday, June 9th, 2025. The testimony taken on this matter will be considered before issuing the final order. I will swear anyone giving testimony in, and I will swear those testifying in as a group rather than individually. The reason that I'll swear you in is to reinforce the seriousness of your testimony and to maintain procedural integrity of the hearing. It will also allow court to consider your testimony if the final order is ever appealed. The Nevada Division of Water Resources is the state agency responsible for administering Nevada water law and managing the state's water resources. The division generally serves as a resource to help water users navigate water law. The underlying statutory role of the division is to facilitate beneficial use of available water while protecting existing users and the public interest. The state engineer is authorized by the Nevada legislature to perform the duties related to the management of the water resources belonging to the people of the state of Nevada, pursuant to NRS chapters 532 through 536. The division uses hydrographic basins to facilitate the management of water rights, both surface and underground. The state of Nevada has 256 hydrographic basins as defined by the division. Of those, 125 are fully designated, 7 are partially designated, and 124 are not designated. Maps depicting the basins and hydrographic regions are available on the division website, and an interactive map is also available for the public to use and view. Some of you may be here today to understand how the proposed orders affect your existing water rights or pending applications. The following information should provide a better understanding of the impacts of designating a basin. Designating a basin in the proposed orders is intended to protect future interests of owners of water rights and domestic wells, as well as to facilitate the management of basin resources in a sustainable manner. For example, in a designated basin, you must have a permit or waiver from our office prior to drilling a well pursuant to NRS 534-050. Designating a basin is limited to the management of appropriated groundwater rights in the basin. The division manages the area designated only to the degree of the groundwater resource and does not manage land use or municipalities. Next slide. The division has statutory authority under NRS chapters 533 and 534 in all basins, including non-designated basins, to administer the water resources of the state. However, some basins are in need of further administration or management to try to protect the resource in a sustainable manner. The designation process is the first step to evaluate the needs for further management of that basin. Once we statutorily designate a basin, the legislature has given the state engineer additional authority to be more hands-on in terms of management. The authority for making rules, regulations, and orders as are deemed essential for the welfare of the area involved is provided by NRS 534-120. The Nevada Revised Statute has been previously invoked for the purpose of establishing preferred use, restricting new appropriations, well spacing and dewatering, and requiring meter installations and reporting. Management needs such as these differ by basin and are considered on the circumstances of that basin. Another outcome for designated basins is that a basin assessment is likely to occur to aid in costs associated with administration of that basin. The authority for this is provided by NRS 534-040. And next slide. The proposed orders discussed today will not be made effective until the testimony and public comment provided today are considered and our investigation is complete. Ultimately, based on the testimony and public comment provided today, the proposed orders may be issued as final orders in the basin, which will become effective in the basin on the date they are signed by the state engineer. The proposed orders may be modified based on testimony given today. The final order is not retroactive. It does not change the status of existing permitted rights or applications that have already been filed. The final order is not effective until it is signed and is prospective, meaning it does not change the status of any existing water right or pending application. Pending applications will not be subject to the final order, meaning that approval or denial of pending applications will not be determined based on the final order. New applications may continue to be filed with our office and will be reviewed in accordance with NRS chapters 533 and 534. For criteria such as availability of water from the source, conflicts with existing rights or domestic wells, threats to the public interest, or previous denial of applications for similar use within the basin. Designating a basin does not change the process for reviewing applications, apart from the fact that the final order will also govern when it is signed. Next slide. Next slide. Designated a basin is an administrative process authorized by NRS 534-030 the state engineer may designate a basin after holding a public hearing to take testimony from owners of wells in the basin, completing the necessary investigation to determine if administration would be justified in issuing an order to designate the basin. Many factors are considered during the investigation, and these factors may not be the same for every basin. These factors include, but are not limited to, the perennial yield and available water budget of the basin, the appropriations or committed resources, pending groundwater applications, quantity of water pumped with respect to the perennial yield, whether there are issues that could be addressed through further management, planned or existing development, the predominant manner of use, whether the basin crosses state lines, whether there is reserved land within the basin, and whether our office actively monitors water use or groundwater levels. If the basin is found after due investigation to be in need of further administration, the state engineer may issue an order to designate the area by basin or portion and describe the boundaries by legal subdivision as nearly as possible. Next slide. Okay, so at this time, my colleague Lauren Bartels will give a brief presentation on the hydrology of the basin.
Thanks for coming out. So James talked generally about why we would designate a basin, but I'm going to talk more specifically about why we're proposing to designate the East Walker area. So first, the East Walker area is one of seven basins within the broader Walker River region, and four other basins are already designated: Antelope Valley, Smith Valley, Mason Valley, and the lower portion of Walker Lake Valley, which are shown in pink. And so administratively, these are all different groundwater basins, but they are all connected by the Walker River flow system. And so it's important to manage the region and as consistent in a manner as possible. What's also important is that the surface and groundwater systems in this area are connected. So water use in the East Walker not only affects that basin, but also all the downstream basins. And what we're hoping now is that additional management today can help ensure a more sustainable water use both in the East Walker area and the region as a whole. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about the importance of the surface water and groundwater connection in this region, and I'm going to start by looking at your neighbors, Smith Valley and Mason Valley. So in both of these basins, we have a long history of collecting groundwater level data. So these are both showing groundwater level trends in one well in Smith Valley north of the river, and then a well in Mason, about central Mason Valley. So the sawtooth pattern in these graphs is showing the data from our semi-annual measurement. So we'll take one measurement in the fall after irrigation season when water levels are generally at their lowest because they've just been pumped all season long. And then we'll come back in the spring before irrigation starts and measure them again. And so we'll see increases in the groundwater level because there hasn't been as much pumping over the winter and the groundwater levels have been allowed to recharge from winter precipitation. You can also see the wet and dry years pretty nicely in these graphs. So, for example, this drought period from 2012 to 2015, you can see how groundwater levels declined pretty steeply and rapidly. And then water year 23, we have this really big increase in water levels. But overall, since we've been measuring groundwater levels in these basins, so from the 1960s, you see there's an overall declining trend in both of these basins. And these are declining groundwater level trends also affect the Walker River. So these are graphs from a USGS study looking at changes in Walker River stream efficiency. And so stream efficiency can be thought as a measure of the change in flow of a river. So a river can be gaining, which means water is coming into the river system and flows are increasing, or losing, so the river is losing water to the surrounding groundwater system. So you can see in both Smith Valley and Mason Valley, the Walker River has shifted from being predominantly a gaining stream to a losing stream. And this can be attributed to those declining groundwater levels, because as the groundwater levels decline, the water wants to move from the river and into the groundwater system. And so you're seeing the stream efficiency decrease. And this leads us into getting stuck in this negative feedback loop. So we have these declining groundwater levels, which are leading to increased flow losses in the river, which in turn lead to reduced flow deliveries because there's less water in the river. And then water users are turning more to groundwater use to make up for those reduced deliveries. And then we're stuck in this cycle. And so what we want to do is try to break out of this. And so now we're going to look specifically at stream flows in the East Walker area. So this map is showing the stretch of the river from Flying Inn Ranch down to the USGS Strauss-Snyder Gauge, which is at the border of Mason Valley in the East Walker area. So it was known that losses were occurring on this stretch of the East Walker, but we weren't entirely sure where. So in 2021, the Walker River Irrigation District, as well as our office, went out on several days in early July and beginning of August to take stream flow measurements at different portions of this river. And so this map is showing what we found in terms of how, if the river was gaining or losing on these different stretches. So across Flying Inn Ranch, it was seeing a 6% gain this year, so water was coming into the river. Across Rafter 7 down to above Santa Margarita Ranch, it was showing a 10% loss in stream flow. And then across Santa Margarita Ranch to the Strauss-Snyder Gauge, we were seeing 47% loss in stream flow. And this is also accounting for surface water diversions that were happening during this time. So as you can see, there's pretty significant losses on this stretch of the East Walker. However, we also know there's groundwater pumping on this stretch as well. So we've been consistently measuring groundwater levels in the East Walker since 2022. And we measure 14 wells across the basin. So those are shown as those little triangles. And this graph is highlighting the water level data from 8 wells that are in that yellow circle, which is the same stretch I showed you in the previous slide. So as you can see, water levels have remained pretty stable in this area, especially compared to what I was showing you for Smith and Mason Valley. But we do know there's groundwater pumping in the stretch. So if there's pumping and the groundwater levels are remaining stable, the water needs to be coming from somewhere, and that would explain some of the major losses we see in stream flow across that stretch. So lastly, as I was saying, since this system is so connected across groundwater basins, it is important to manage as consistently as possible. So what we're doing in Smith and Mason Valley now, due to those steep groundwater level declines we're seeing, is we meet with the water users very regularly. And once a year, we give a presentation to discuss what we're seeing in groundwater level trends, what their pumpage was for that last year, and what we expect the upcoming water year to look like. And then based on the upcoming water year, we set a pumpage goal for these basins in order to help get their groundwater levels to stabilize. And so then it becomes up to the water users to decide how they're going to meet that pumpage goal. And since we've been meeting with them, the recent data in groundwater levels have shown they've stabilized, at least from 2016 to present. So it seems like it's pretty effective, and the water users work with us pretty well and are trying to stabilize groundwater levels. So yeah, we're hoping just to... by designating the East Walker and putting in similar orders to Smith and Mason Valley, that we can have a more consistent management structure and just proactively prevent any severe groundwater declines and hopefully help the system as a whole. Turn it back over to James.
Thanks, Lauren. I'm going to do a couple slides on the proposed orders and then turn it back over to Lauren one more time for a tutorial on the meters database. And then we'll get into testimony and public comment. So there are two proposed orders. These are proposed order designating, describing, and curtailing new appropriations within the basin, and a proposed order establishing reporting requirements of meter installation and monthly meter readings within the basin. For simplicity, we'll just refer to the order designating the basin and curtailing new appropriations as the proposed designation order and the proposed order establishing reporting requirements as the proposed meter order. So regarding the proposed designation order, the order would curtail new appropriations of groundwater with limited exceptions for applications filed for environmental use pursuant to NRS 533-437 through NRS 533-4377. Temporary applications filed for establishing fire-resistant vegetative cover pursuant to NRS 533-346. Applications filed for temporary stock water use pursuant to NRS 533-504 and that seek appropriations of less than 2 acre feet. Applications filed for diversion rate only with no corresponding increase in duty of water, and applications filed for non-consumptive uses. If an application is filed between now and the issuance of the final order, it will not be subject to the final order, meaning approval or denial of applications will not be determined based on the final order. If a new application is filed in a basin after issuance of the final order, apart from the limited exceptions enumerated by the proposed order and mentioned previously, it is unlikely to be approved. This does not restrict applications to change an existing right. Applications to change existing rights will be reviewed by the Division of Water Resources pursuant to NRS 533 and 534.
No.
Okay. Here's the meter order. So in addition to the proposed order designating the basin, the proposed meter order would require that all owners of underground water rights in the East Walker Hydrographic Basin submit a report of installation of totalizing meter form by a date to be determined with the following exceptions. One, for those wells drilled for domestic purposes as defined by NRS 534.013, unless otherwise required by an order of the state engineer or by NRS 534.184. Two, those wells drilled for stock water purposes unless otherwise required by the terms of the permit or certificate. Three, those wells with a total authorized withdrawal that does not exceed 5 acre feet unless otherwise required by the terms of the permit or certificate. The proposed order would further require that monthly records be kept of the amount of water pumped from each well subject to the order, and that records be submitted to the Division of Water Resources within 7 days after the beginning of each month. The proposed meter order also broadly requires as follows. One, that each water right owner ensure their totalizing meter is installed and maintained in accordance with manufacturer's specifications and is accurately reporting with an accuracy of plus or minus 10%. Two, that meter installation requirements for new wells be included in the terms of the water right permit. Three, that each water right owner shall correct totalizing meter failure or deficiencies within 30 days. And shall submit the report of installation of totalizing meter form for any new or replacement totalizing meter installed within 30 days. Four, that the state engineer may authorize temporary estimation of the amount of water pumped during the time period required to repair a non-functional totalizing meter. Five, that each water right owner shall provide access to the totalizing meter by Division of Water Resources staff without notice, pursuant to Nevada Revised Statute 533.0247 and 534.130, and six, that any tampering with any working totalizing meter, such that the totalizing meter provides a false measurement, is prohibited. Next slide is you, Lauren.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I take your chair real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, so like James mentioned, in the meters order, it has a requirement to report once a month within the first 7 days. And so I just wanted to show you what our meters database looks like, where the reporting would be done. So what you would do is you'd contact our office. We have meters database staff, and they would provide you with a login. So you would just come to our website. And then you log in.
You got a switch.
Oh, whoops. Sorry.
It's not that kind of server. It's probably adjacent screen. It looks like a little.
Where's the mouse?
Just escape the presentation mode first.
I know we're not even showing our mouse right now on the screen. That's the problem.
Oh, it's on that screen. It seems like you have extended displays.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Can you see it?
No.
Hit escape out of your presentation.
It wasn't even on the...
There it is.
Yes,
okay. Let's get my presentation from there.
Sorry, you didn't see the login screen, but it'll say username and password, and you'll enter the username and password that you're given. And then on the left, you'll see all your meters that are associated with your account. So if you have more than one well, more than one meter, they'll all be listed here. And so you'll take your meter reading, you'll go to the meter that it's for, and on the left, it'll show the details. You can confirm you're entering the right reading on the right page. It'll have your meter serial number, the multiplier, so like gallons times 100, something like that, number of digits, the type of meter, all that information. So always make sure that's accurate, and then you would come to this page where it just says meter reading, and so you'll enter the date you read it. So today, that. Meter reading, so you do this without the multiplier that's already built into the database. So if it's gallons, this one's gallons times 100, so you would just enter the numbers you see on your meter, so something like that, and then it'll show what it'll report in the database. So here it's times 100, it already did that for you. And you can leave any notes too if your meter rolled over or something like that, just something to flag to let us know. And then you can also scroll down, and so you'll see all the readings you previously entered, so you can also check to make sure the reading you're putting in makes sense. So your last reading here from 227.25 says 9 million, and you can check up here, okay, I'm entering in 10 million, so that makes sense. And then you also see this bar chart, which shows your annual usage, and you can compare that to the amount you're allowed to pump, which will be shown at this red line, and then look at how much you've used every year. So it's a really neat tool to keep track of what water you're using, and then it's helpful for us just to see how much is being used in the basin and correlate that to groundwater levels and other trends we're seeing. Yeah, that's all I had on that.
Testimony and questions. Is there anyone who does want to provide testimony today on the proposed orders? Okay. So just a couple notes. Before providing testimony, please state your name, specify if you are an owner of a well or groundwater right within the basin, or representing an owner, if you are for or against the proposed order, and then a brief statement. And we'll also answer questions, so if you have questions now at the time. So before get started with that, if you want to ask questions or provide testimony, it's like ask anyone who's going to do that to stand and I'll swear you in. Okay. Now please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm the testimony you will provide today will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay, great. Now please proceed.
For the record, my name is Greg Billieu. I represent Santa Margarita Ranch, Lantana Ranch Family Limited Partnership, Powell Family 2011 Trust. I'd like to say for the record, we do not object to the designation of the basin. My only or our only concern is the monthly requirement to report the groundwater usage. All of groundwater rights that those individuals own are supplemental to the Walker River, supplemental to the Creed rights, and they only divert during the irrigation period. We presently are providing on the meters database for the Santa Margarita Ranch quarterly records. However, they collectively feel that it would be a little onerous given the limited number of permits in that basin versus Smith Valley, Mason Valley. They would prefer to continue with the quarterly as they do on the Humboldt River system. That's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So we'll go ahead and proceed with public comment. Is there anyone who'd like to ask questions or like to speak about anything other than the proposed orders? Okay. So if you have questions later, inquiries can be directed to the Division of Water.
I do have a question.
Okay.
Just two questions. Mm-hmm. So when would you be invoking this? When would it be effective?
So it'll be effective when the state engineer signs, right? So after we consider testimony and public comment today, we'll finalize the proposed order, and then it will be signed by the state engineer. And when it's signed, it will become effective.
So, when is public comment due by?
June, yeah, public comment. So it will remain open, I think, until June 5th. I think it was June 5th.
So realistically, it could be signed as early as June 6th. It could be extended out depending on what public comment we receive at that time.
Okay. In relation to what he was saying, the person I'm talking about has a shared well with Powell's.
Okay.
So there's only one reporter, right? Whoever's in charge of the well.
Yes.
Yeah. One person has to read.
Yeah, it's a senior major reading.
Yeah, they can both have access to the account, but we only need one.
Okay.
Yeah, one person to report a month.
Okay.
And that will is meter.
It is meter.
I just have another question.
Thank you.
Is this all including current domestic wells and future domestic wells?
Can you clarify all?
Santa Margarita is divided into several parcels previously. And I'm assuming, and when that was done years ago, they automatically get a domestic well allowance for each parcel.
Do you want to talk about the exemptions?
To the designation order?
Yes. And the legal order. Anything less than probably 15.
Yeah, so
yeah, I'm just not sure if you're mainly focused on ag wells, which, and this is just a curiosity.
I understand.
So domestic wells aren't permitted through the division, so what this would deal with is the drilling of a new well. So all that means is that the well driller has to contact the division, let us know, and provide an NOI prior to drilling a domestic well.
And which we know domestic wells don't use nearly as much as it?
Yeah, they're limited to 3 acre feet by statute.
Bunch of them.
Yeah.
And if there's going to be a restriction on that?
At this point, I don't believe there is a restriction on it, yeah. And the meter order itself is anything below 5 acre feet is exempt as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, yeah, and they have obviously sold it. I'm just curious. It exists. There's potential. Okay.
Let's go to the
next slide.
Yeah, next slide, please. Okay, so seeing no one else wishing to offer public comment, I will close the hearing. Additional testimony can be submitted in writing through the Division of Water Resources by June 9th. Will be considered before we issue the final order. So I want to thank you all for your participation today and remind you that the hearing has been recorded and will be retained in the records of the state engineer. For a digital copy of the recording, you may contact the Division of Water Resources, and we can provide you a copy of the recording.
Also, as a reminder, all exhibits are posted on our website as well, so there will be a place for that. I'm not sure if we can put the recording up on our website, but I will attempt to. If it doesn't show up there and you would like a copy of that, please contact the division. We'll be able to provide that to you.
Will this presentation also be?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Also, there are extra copies of both the designation order and the meter order up on the table over here, if you would like one.
And there are guidelines in the presentation. If you'd like to submit written testimony, you can pull the presentation from the website. Coming down to the bottom of the presentation here are the guidelines for submitting written testimony. And that is the conclusion of our hearing. Feel free to give us a call if you'd like to discuss or any additional questions.
Thank you.